There's not a scripture printed in your bulletin by my choice. If you want to be finding Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to do something I don't do a lot this morning. I'm not good at what I'm going to do this morning. I'm better at reading a text and just working my way through a text. I'm going to use the text in Matthew 25, but I want to share some thoughts with you about that dollar that you've been given, making the most of what God has given you. Matthew chapter 25 is still in the Bible. I want to share a little bit about how we come to this place this morning and how I just believe that God has worked some stuff out behind the scenes. He's far smarter than I am, and he's smarter than you too, for that matter. But it's amazing. So let me pray, then we'll share. Father, speak to us. God, I really believe, Lord, that what we're doing or trying to do is in your will. God, I pray now that you'll give us a heart for discernment for your will, Lord, to discern your ways. And God, that we would walk from this place, Lord, excited about what you're doing in this place we call Moon's Chapel. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me share with you a little bit about how I've came up with the sermon for this morning, the dollar that's been given you. I have to go back several years. Several years ago, we were sitting in the parking lot here on a Wednesday afternoon, me and Mike Whitson were. And he said to me, "Can I say something to your church tonight?" And I said, "What are you going to say? You're going back to Charlotte tonight. I'll be here tomorrow morning." He started laughing. He said, "You think I'd get you in trouble?" I said, "Well, I don't know. That's why I want to know what you're going to say. Because tomorrow morning I'll be here fielding phone calls and ugly emails and texts, and you'll be back in Charlotte if you stay in the ugly tonight." He just laughed a little bit, and we just laughed. He told me what he's going to say. Is what you have here is too good to keep to yourselves. But you have some major issues of seating and parking issues that must be addressed, or you're never going to be more than what you are right now. Some of you will remember that night he said all that. Well, the next day, Wayne Andrews came to see me, and he said, "I'm going to talk to my family about buying that property across the road." I said, "You think? It's been in an estate since 1973. Now, keep in mind, I was born in 1975. He said, "We'll see. You don't ever know what God's going to do." Now, I have to be honest with you, I was the doubting Thomas. I thought, well, I'll just drop that. And I heard what Brother Mike said, and what Mike said was good. But, you know what? Well, we are where we are. We without getting into all that around with the landlocked issues. Well, I guess it was a week or two later, Wayne come back to me and said, "Everybody's agreed to sell that property to us." I said, "They've all agreed?" It's either 12 or 14 of them that had to agree to that purchase of that property, and so they did. Well, we began to put things in motion pretty quickly there, and on the advice of counsel, we actually borrowed against this building here because we didn't have enough money for a down payment, because we just needed to get it closed, because when you're dealing with 12 or 14 people, if any person, one of those people backs out or decides differently, then the deal is for naught. So we borrowed $70,000, purchased the property across the street for $80,000. Some of you remember that. Well, the land debt is now complete. We owe it free and clear. We own this building back again. We bought it again. Isn't it nice? Some of you might not have known that, but you do now. But we financed $70,000. We paid it off in 4 years. That's a true story. Several months ago, we put together a land planning committee and began meeting and praying about what God would have us do with the land that's before us. One Sunday night several months ago, we actually took part of our Sunday night in our prayer time, and I asked us just to pray about that specifically, and I asked Dennis Andrews to pray for us specifically about that need. Well, I'm believing that you've been praying with us, and I believe our committee's been praying, because Lord knows that it's far more extensive than anything I ever thought about doing. It's kind of like one time me and I was working on my lawnmower. Well, Wayne was working on my lawnmower. I was watching. And Ashlyn or Meredith wouldn't come out there. I can't remember which one it was. And said, "Daddy, you're not a preacher. A mechanic, you're a preacher." And I thought Wayne was going to hurt himself laughing. I started hurt Wayne too with something that day. But I'm not a builder. I'm a preacher. That's what I do. That's what I'm good at, I think. And anyway. But we believe that God has been working. And so back in May of this year, we asked you for permission to sign a letter of intent that just simply says, if and when we build, we're going to use MCT contractors at Monroe to do so. Now, we still we're very much in the planning stages, and there's some work things we've talked about privately. We're just not ready to share yet. But the truth is, we really don't have anything concrete to share with you. What we want to do with the property, we've got some ideas, but really and truly, we're hoping to get some preliminary drawings soon to bring back to you to show you by way of information. But we don't have a lot of information to give you at this point. And that's the gospel truth, as God is my witness. We don't have a lot of information to give you. Now, preacher, what in the world's that all I got to do with today? I have to back up just a little bit. Again, let me back up. 6 or 8 weeks ago, I guess it was, I received a phone call from the fellow who done my wedding. Some of you remember him. He was one of my references, Jan. You'll remember him. He's a good friend to this day. He pastors at the Miami Baptist Church in Concord now. And we played phone tag for 2 weeks, and he called me back and forth, and he said, "I need a favor." And I said, "Uh-huh." He said, and "I really like you." And I thought, "Oh, Lord, he sounds like me." And we talked a little bit, and he said, "I want you to come preach for me for homecoming on August the 2nd. I said, "Really?" He said, "You can't do it." I said, "I can, I guess. I just don't like being, I was gone the 19th of July, then I was here the 26th. I just don't like being gone 2 out of 3 Sundays like that. I just don't like to do that." And you were so gracious and didn't say anything about that. So after I hung up the phone with him, I said, "Well, if I'm going to go do that, I've got to get somebody to preach here." So I called Joe Smith. No one loves coming here to preach any more than Joe Smith does. No one loves Joe Smith any more than I do. I love Joe Smith. He's my friend. He's a confidant. I bounce ideas off of him. In the recent years, we've become very close, and he's become a very dear, dear friend. He loves you. He loves coming here. And so when I called Joe, though, here's where things get interesting. Joe was in Indiana, and Joe and Josh Phillips have an infinite desire to go to thrift stores. Anytime they see one, they stop. True story. Let me back up again. Joe Smith, he's in a thrift store. But let me back up to 1987. Joe Smith goes to Real Evangelism. Some of you remember those conferences started years ago with Bailey Smith's conferences all over the country. They used to do one at Roswell Street Baptist Church right outside of Atlanta. It was 1987. Joe heard what was called the Sagemont story. Fast forward to 2015 in July. I called Joe about preaching. He's in a thrift store in Indiana, and there he's standing at a table, and he sees tapes that says the Sagemont story. He purchased them for just a few dollars. Well, just a few weeks later, he comes here to preach. He stays for lunch with many of you, and he begins to see and hear about what we've planned and are thinking about, but we really don't know what we're going to do, and we really don't know what we're going to do. We just know that we feel like that God's leading in this, and we just really sense that God's working. And Joe bought those CD tapes. They're tapes, not CDs. And after he heard what he heard here that day, he went home, and he had those tapes converted to CD. One Wednesday afternoon, I was driving to the nursing home on Genesis, I think is the name of it now. It's changed names 15 or 20 times since I've been here. And he called me when I walked out. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to another nursing home." He said, "Where are you going to be in an hour and 15 or 20 minutes?" I said, "Well, I really don't know. I hadn't really thought about it a whole lot. It's 2 o'clock. I've got to be back here at church at 7. He said, "Well, I'll be at Moon's Chapel by 3:30. I've got something I've got to give you. God's laid it on my heart." On a Wednesday afternoon. Unsolicited. He doesn't know if I'm going to be in town, but he's halfway here then. So he shows up and he gives me those tapes. Now, Joe does a fantastic job preaching while I'm gone, and I think Dwayne said it was incredible, and Joe's just a wonderful preacher. And he was moved to bring me those tapes. By the way, he brought me those tapes on the Wednesday before we were supposed to meet with the Land Planning Committee on Monday. No way he could have known that. Impossible. I don't think it's by accident. God's working behind the scenes. Well, just a day or two later, I begin to listen to him. Man, I was so moved in my spirit. And that's the committee. We've been bouncing ideas off, and nothing stuck. I mean, we just talked about this, we talked about that, we talked about this, and we talked about that. Nothing stuck. Nobody had a good idea, or at least I didn't have a good idea. Maybe they did, I just didn't have a good one, okay? But he talked about it in those tapes, how God used the parable of the talents, which, by the way, is still in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 25. In a sermon from two different churches, one in Texas, which is Sagemont, which is outside of Houston, and another were in Georgia, right outside of Atlanta. So what I want to do this morning is share some thoughts with you about what I believe God wants us to do. And I want us to work our way through this text a little bit this morning. But while I do that, I want to share some thoughts with you. And I believe that God spoke to our hearts and making this dream a reality down the road. Over and over and over and over in those tapes, you hear this phrase over and over again, and it's stuck in my mind. I mean, I've said it to Elizabeth more and more at home in recent weeks, and she's probably sick of hearing it. And it's just this, simply, let God be God. Maybe digest that just a little bit. Let God be God. Let God show himself to who he is. Which brings us to the text. And I did outline it a little bit. And I first of all see in our text a time of responsibility in verses 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Let's read them. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents. And to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained two more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money." Now, I think we would all agree that we've all been given a great deal by God here. Amen. Let me try that again. I think we'd all agree that we've been given a great deal by God. Amen. God's been good to us. He's been good to me. And he's been good to you. Now, let me help you with the context here, this text. I woke up this morning at 6, long before Elizabeth even thought about rolling over, with this context on my mind. The kingdom of heaven is what the text starts with. That's what it says. I'm not making that up. That's what the Word of God says. So he's talking about when we give, we're making an investment in ultimately heaven. All right? So with that thought in mind, here's 2 thoughts. First of all, the dollar that you've been given, first of all, I want you to know about the owner of that dollar. Notice with me. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered," pay attention, there's a personal pronoun there, "his goods to them." You've been given a dollar this morning. On Friday of this week, I took $250. A check was made payable to me. I asked Becky a few weeks ago to sign a check and just to trust me. And it would become abundantly clear what they're going to do. Whatever we don't have left, we'll deposit back tomorrow morning. We have left, we'll deposit back tomorrow morning. But the money that you've been given is not your money. It's the Lord's money. And by the way, the check you received on Friday or Thursday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever it was you got paid last week, that too is the Lord's money. The Bible says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And by the way, he owns the hills too. Amen. That's right. Everything you received is the Lord's. We've taken that money. By the way, I've cleared with this with the deacons. I talked with them a few days ago about this. I've talked with the committee. I did not talk to the finance committee. I wanted to keep it as hush-hush as I could so I could do what I really sense what God wanted us to do. But you've been entrusted with a dollar of the Lord's money. Now, I realize it's a little bit unusual in church services for us to give money away, not to receive money. But we're giving you some money this morning. We give you a dollar of the Lord's money, and you have a dollar more, every one of you, every man, woman, boy, girl, and child here has a dollar more than you came in with this morning. Everybody's got a dollar. So the owner of the dollar is the Lord's, right? The money I have in my wallet, which is very little right now, is the Lord's. The money we have in our bank account is the Lord's. The money we have in our retirement accounts, that's the Lord's. Everything I have is His. It's His house, His cars. We don't own anything really. We're caretakers of His stuff. Right? Okay? You can believe that if you want to, not believe that if you want to, but the Bible teaches that very, very clearly. So, the owner of the dollar, I see a second thought though. The opportunity for the dollar. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Now, you've been given a dollar, and we're going to receive an offering on November the 1st. Now, everybody's got something to give to the offering on November 1st. It'll be the first time in the history of our church, everybody's got something to give that day. You got at least a dollar. We want that dollar back. It wasn't yours to start with, it's the Lord's dollar. We entrusted His dollar to you. I read it from the Bible right there. He delivered His goods to them. That's what the text says. We've given you a dollar. Now, on November 1st, we want that dollar back. Now, the text also says that they were given to each according to his ability. Everybody's got different abilities here, so we didn't want to decide how much ability anybody had because we thought that'd be rude if we give one of you $5 and the other one two. And the truth is, I'd probably been in the negative with the ability part, you know. And I've joked and said for years that if God hadn't called me to preach, I'd starve, so I can't do anything else. But for the next 60 days, I want to see God do some pretty amazing stuff with that dollar that God's given you. Let me share some stories with you from the Sagemont story. I wish my mouth was as wet as my armpits are right now. I'm far more comfortable preaching a sermon. Some of you thinking right now, he's gone crazy. Some of you think I've lost my mind. I've done neither. I'm not interested in us doing this corporately. But as individuals, it's what we're seeing here, they give it to them individually. Not corporately. Let's see what God does with it. Sagemont, let me tell you what some of them did. Some of the senior adult ladies took their dollar, and they crocheted some bookmarks and sold them to folks at crosses, and $2 or $3 a piece. And it was amazing what they done. Gave the money back to Jesus. One little boy that I thought this was fascinating. Now he was a dog lover. He went down to the pet store and bought him a dollar thing of pet a dog shampoo. And he started washing dogs for $2 a piece. And the day came to give their money back to Jesus, he turned in $584. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the stories get better, though. Can you imagine what your dollar can do? Now, the church in Georgia, Ike Reichard's daughter done this, and she got to drive it home. She's 3. Now, you get this picture in your mind. That's why we give you kids a dollar, too, now. She said, Daddy, I didn't get one of them Jesus dollars. He said, well, I can get you one. She said, well, I want one, Daddy. So she said, what are you going to do with it? She said, you'll just have to see once I get my dollar. So she got her dollar, and he drove her to the dollar store. She wanted to go to the dollar store. And there she bought her some paper and some colored markers. And she went to drawing those pictures. Now, you have to imagine this little girl. I've never seen her, but I'm told she's blonde hair, blue eyes with curly hair. And she went up to her grandpa, and she was curling her hair like this. And she said, Papa, buy my picture? Well, you know what Pawpaw does. Now, my daddy's got money I've never seen before in my life. If the grandchildren ask, he's got money now. I mean, are you following what I'm telling you? Well, Meemaw, not to be outdone, bought her a pitcher too. She sold one to all the church staff. They had a guest one day come visit, man in a suit and tie never seen before in his life. Heard about what God was doing there at the church, and he come up and said, "I want one of those pictures. I hear your daughter's drawing, Pastor." He said, "Well, I don't have none, but the artist doesn't take her long to do one, and we'll get it fixed right up for you." He said, "Well, I'll wait." He said, "What color do you want?" He said, "We're equal opportunity here. We can get it on red paper, blue paper, purple paper, or green paper, or orange. You tell me what you want." He said, "Doesn't matter." So she just fixed him a picture up real quick, and he handed her an envelope and took his picture and got in his car, and him and his wife drove away. Well, the pastor said, "Well, I don't want you to lose that envelope, honey. There's probably a check in there. We don't want you to lose that because that's just too much, and we don't lose anyone's money, so you'll have it to turn in the day we receive this money as our offering." Well, he was driving down the road, so he said, "I opened the envelope," and he said there was a check for $50,000 in there. Sagemont Church gave away $3,500. We didn't do that this morning. We didn't have that many people here, I think. We wish we had, but we didn't. But on their day when they received their dollars back, they received $385,000 back. Didn't do anything corporately. Individuals done it. The church in Atlanta raised over $200,000. I'm not suggesting we're going to do that here. One person there at Sagemont, I thought about this. It's blessed my soul. He bought some candy at his office before he went to work on Monday morning. He said, "I've seen people walk by my desk for years to go down to the canteen and buy candy. So I just told him, said, won't you buy candy for me? I'm selling candy. I'm going to give my money to Jesus." "Sure, your candy is as good. Save us a few steps." So he sold over $1,000 worth of candy. But he started with just a dollar. Some of our folks come up with ideas. I'm just giving you some ideas what you might do with your dollar. Some of you are thinking, "What am I going to do with my dollar?" Some of you are thinking, "I'm not going to do anything with that dollar." That's up to you, too. That's a trick between you and the Lord. Kids sold lemonade. Folks done different kinds of stuff. There's car washes, there's yard sales, and the list could go on and on and on. But bake sales, whatever the idea is, whatever you do, but do it as an investment for eternity, and that's what the point here is this. God's gifted some of you in different ways, and he's gifted me in different ways than he has you. Now, one thing I thought was interesting, I'll tell you about what the pastor did there with his dollar. He said, I sent my dollar to all the major preachers across America with a note, tell them what I was doing, and asked them to sign it and put their favorite Bible verse on there. He said, so I sent one to Charles Stanley, it come right back. I sent one to Jerry Vines, we do his literature, he said, it come right back. I sent one to W.A. Criswell, who at the time was at First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, it come right back. He said, I sent it to Jerry Falwell. He said, I was a little worried that I'd get it back from Falwell. He said, apparently they were friends. He said, he'll be here in just a few weeks, and you can ask him about what I said about him. He said, we got it back. He said, and a man north of here paid $1,500 in a silent auction for my dollar. Now, I said all that to say this. I've been praying about, and I have an idea to do with my dollar. I do. I really do. Me and Elizabeth talked about it the other day. And we've been praying about it, and I'm going to see about that this week. We've got a dollar too. I say we do. I haven't got one, but I will. Jan, get me one. But I wanted to pray about what I could do with my dollar so I can give a worthy offering to the one who gave me the investment to start with. By the way, when we receive the offering here on Sunday mornings, you ought to give a worthy offering to the one who gave you the ability to make that money to start with. All right? That's just free. That wasn't even notes. But it was a time of responsibility. You have a responsibility now. You've been entrusted with God's money. There's a time of receiving. We're going to receive these dollars 60 days from now on November 1st. It's a Sunday morning. We're going to receive two offerings that day, a general offering and this offering back. The Bible says in verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The fact of the matter is, God's going to hold you accountable for what he gave you. He's going to hold me accountable for what he gave me. Now, listen to me now. I want you to hear me very clearly. I don't want that dollar back before then. And some of you are saying, I'm not going to do that. Don't. If that's fine. I can't make you do it. I can't make you do a thing. But don't bring that dollar back until November 1st. Just bring your dollar back. That's all you got to do. You get to participate in the offering that day. You've got a dollar. Just bring your dollar. We want everybody to participate in the offering. So everybody's got at least a dollar to give. But you see here in the text now, there's two different pictures of folks who gave. Verses 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23, pick up in verse 20. And the Bible says, so he received, say, he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me five talents. Look, I gained five more talents besides them. Now, at least I get a lot of backlash. This isn't the Bible I'm reading from. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter to the joy of the Lord. And he who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter to the joy of your Lord. Here's the cool thing. Now, we're all going to give an account with what we do, with what God's given us. Some of you are gifted folks. I'm not. I'm just not, I'm telling you, I can't do anything else. But we're going to have to see how we've taken what God's given us and how we multiplied that which God's given us in this life. We've been given much. We ought to take that and multiply it for the kingdom's sake. This text is still in the Bible. We have a wonderful opportunity before us. Here's an interesting thought. We've done some math. If there's 150 people here today, and I don't know how many people there are here today, we hadn't counted. Jan's probably counted them. It's pretty close. If we do $100 a dollar, that's $15,000 we'll get back on November 1st. Get $100. Now, I don't live in a dream world to think that everybody's going to do this. I know that. I know that before we talked about this. But the fact is that this principle is in the Bible, and it's been so convicting and such a burden on my heart for the last several weeks. And we have a great opportunity before us to make an investment in eternity. And that's what we're asking you to do. This is a different sermon, isn't it? By the way, we'll get back to my series in just a few weeks. So let me encourage you to do that. Now, Jan had some thoughts this morning. Every once in a while, she says something profound. It's rare, but she says, she says something profound. Even if you don't participate with our dollar, we can't make you. I can't. By the way, the deacons thought this was a good idea as long as the committee did too. They were great with it. But Jan said, this ought to make you think about what you're doing with your time, your talent, what God's given you, not just in this 60 days, but every day of your life. Jan is right. This text won't cease being in the Bible after these 60 days are up. Whether you choose to be a part of this or not, doesn't make this text any less true. You have a dollar. And one of these days, I'm going to stand before the Lord and I'm going to give an account for what I did with what He gave me. The foolish things I've said and done, I'm going to give an account. So are you. I'm going to give an account for what I did with those dollars God entrusted me with. By the way, you're not getting out of this world alive, and you're going to give an account to what God, you did with God's money. It's His stuff. Never send a U-Haul behind the hearse. I want to be a good steward of what God's entrusted me with, the wise servant. But I'm not spending much time here, but I am going to read the text because I have to read the whole text. The wicked servant. Then he who received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to them who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, and he who has abundance, but from him who does not who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And he cast the unprofitable into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Fact is, God's going to hold us accountable for what we've done with his money. Not just this dollar I give you, or we give you this morning, but every dollar you've ever had in your life. God's going to hold you accountable for that, because it's all his to start with. And I just want to be good stewards, and that's my challenge to you this morning. In 60 days, 60 short days, that'll be, if you go to sleep twice, it'll be 60 days. Again, let God be God. And in 60 days, you bring back that which God has done, excited to celebrate what he's done on November 1st for the kingdom of God's sake. The committee was unanimous in their thoughts. The deacons were unanimous in their thoughts that this was a good idea. We're not doing anything corporately. I'm asking you individually to let God be God. David, I think, had the best spiritual answer, probably the rest of us. He's probably the most spiritual one in the group, far more than me. If we'll take this serious, God could really teach you some stuff. Big principle. Down the road, not just for an offering on November 1st, but what Jan said, every day. God invested 24 hours in this day for me. How am I going to use that 24 hours? God's invested money, and thousands of dollars comes into our hands every year, and do yours as well. How are we going to invest that for his kingdom? I don't know. I know this. God is still God. Let God be God. And we'll see God do some pretty amazing, incredible stuff in 60 days from now. This morning, maybe you've come. You're thinking, the preacher's gone crazy. I've not gone crazy. But maybe you're lost. You don't know Jesus. I'm going to invite you to come. You're in an air-conditioned building full of people who love you and care about your presence here. I want you to know that Jesus Christ gave the greatest gift of all to you by his son. He died in your place. I want you to come trust Jesus. Some of you this morning, maybe you need to find your way around the altar and say, "God, I'm going to let you be God in these next 60 days. I want you to show me how to invest my dollar for the kingdom." We've been praying about it. We've had a heads up on you. You didn't have. I know that Jan talked about, she's been praying about the last several weeks about how she's going to use hers. I had to tell Cindy, because I didn't want her to have a stroke this morning, about what was going to happen. But she's been praying about how God's going to use her dollar. But maybe you need to do that. Ask God how he's going to take that dollar that you've been entrusted with for the next 60 days. And you come back on November 1st and let God just simply be God. Let's say, okay. Lord, the best of my ability, Lord, I preach what you lay on my heart. Speak now, Lord, heart. Do that work that only you can do. God, we commit this time to you. We honor you. We bless you. Thank you for blessing us. Now, Lord, we pray you'll just be God in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads are still bowed. Eyes are still closed. No one's looking around. Cindy's going to sing. The musicians are going to play. You respond to the Lord. And I
Still loving me,
tough.